Sometimes when all the kids are gone, they call it the empty nest syndrome. What do I do with myself? What do we do with ourselves now that we put all of our time and energy into raising these kids and our love and our care? And all of a sudden, sometimes you end up with a husband and wife sitting at home looking at each other and say, now what? You know, what do we do now? And it is certainly a huge time of change. But, you know, there's answers to all of them. And, of course, we can't field everything today. Boy, there's just so much to talk about out there when it comes to these things. I know, folks, one show that I do want to do sometime, and it may take a couple of shows to do, is I'd like to do a show on preparing for the time when we lose a loved one also. You know, the difficult time about that, it's not just a hard, stressful time in the family, but the financial aspect of it can be devastating at the same time. And there are ways, I believe, that we can begin to prepare for some of those things. And even if we don't have a lot of money in the bank, or money, or life insurance, or things to cover that, we can do some things to alleviate some of those fears. Of course, we were talking about our college students and leaving home. And once again, there's a huge financial difficulty there, too. College is expensive today. If you plan ahead and you make sure that your children are applying for, make sure through their school that they're talking with their guidance people, and they're applying for grants, they're looking for different scholarships, you can really alleviate a lot of that stress going in up front. Sometimes we just have to accept the fact that our kids cannot go to a really expensive private school, or not a school that's not a state school, because they are extremely expensive. And the last thing we want to do is have our children graduate from college and walk right into $250,000 debt. I mean, that has just really gotten crazy in the last few years. And, you know, they can get that same education many times without spending that kind of money and really get a good education. Then we also want to look at some changes in life when it comes to family and a divorce. Once again, there's another huge financial stress that goes through. You go from living on two incomes to one income, or in many cases, even though you may be getting support or there's alimony or whatever is there, someone has to now put a roof over their head that they were sharing with someone prior to that. So there's a huge financial stress there too. And it seems like every corner we turn, there's financial stress within our life. And I think that once again, we have to sit back and be willing to take account of everything around us. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting out the old scratch pad. You know, we don't use much of that anymore. I don't even know how many people have them. But it never hurts in all these situations to draw that line on a sheet of paper. And right at the top, this is what I'm trying to figure out. What are the positives? What are the negatives? You know, whether it's a situation of someone leaving the house, a change in the family, financial things. What's the positive of going to this school versus this school, or the negative and the financial? How are we going to do it? And really, if you plan properly, we can alleviate an awful lot of stress in our lives. What do you think, Terry?
I agree with you. That's the whole key, I think, is proper planning.
I think so. When I was a real young man, I was selling insurance and tax-deferred annuities in the evening as an extra income for my family. And one of the lines that they always told us in our training sessions was, you know, people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. And that's absolutely true, is it not?
How many times have you heard it? Yeah.
I heard it so many times, and we fail to plan. It's like, why didn't I plan this out? I knew it was coming up. I knew it was going to sneak up on me, and here it is. And many times we haven't planned, and then here comes the fiasco and the family stress that's added to it and all those things. You know, it's something that's really a lot more short-term that happens annually where this situation pops up, in all honesty, is Christmas. Lots of times people don't think about, what am I going to do for Christmas until November, or maybe even December 20th? And, you know, all of a sudden you say, do we have anything left on the plastic? Have we paid it off from last year? You know, where are we going to, is there an extra something I can pick up here or there? Can I borrow it? And heaven forbid, folks out there, now listen to me very, very well. Don't go to those check cashing places and borrow money. I've seen more people get buried in those places. And if you have fallen victim to that, systematically try to start paying that off without borrowing again, even if you get in a pinch, because it's just like quicksand. It'll swallow you alive.
I know a friend of mine that had to borrow from one place to pay off the other one.
Isn't that something? Yeah, they do that all the time. Oh. I mean, how many times people get a credit card to pay off another credit card,
yeah,
catch their cards up. And I had a friend one time, Terry, I kid you not, he entered one of those places you go into that reorganize your debt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Debt reorganization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And
debt relief. Yeah,
yeah, he was $65,000 in the hole in credit cards.
Wow.
And I said, how did you do that? He said, a little bit at a time.
Wow.
And it's true. You know, that happens a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we do that even at Christmas time. Now, the problem I have, too, is, see, I can talk a good game here, but I got to be willing to do it, too. And with the Christmas thing, I have a bad habit of I'll find something for someone like, hey, that'll be great for them for Christmas. I'll buy it and put it away. And I'll buy something else and put it away. And then one of two things happens. Either I forget what I bought and put it away and buy something again, or I think of something in the meantime, and I don't quite hold to what I should be doing. But in a lot of cases, I know this last Christmas, by the time I went up and dragged all the bags out, we got 13 grandkids and 4 children, which means they have spouses. You know, you can do the math.
Yeah.
And we both come from, you know, larger families. And anyway, by the time I got done dragging all the bags down and the stuff that I put away, it was quite amazing how much we had actually done throughout the year. And one of the best times, really, to do this is within the first few weeks after Christmas. You go into some of the stores. I found one good one is like Tractor Supply. So Tractor Supply for Christmas. You know what? They have all those housewarming things, and they have toys. They mark them down extremely a few weeks after Christmas. And, you know, you just buy those things and put them away.
Well, you know, where else I found, too, along that same line was Rule King.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you just put the stuff back.
Yeah.
Don't buy the fruitcake and put it back.
No,
just don't do that, Terry.
Right,
I think
yeah.
There's a Bible verse on that. I'm not sure. Something about fruitcake. I'm pretty sure that ancient Israel used it in catapults.
Yeah.
No, maybe not. But anyway, you don't want to do the fruitcake.
Especially
that's
the Claxton.
But, you know, all in all, we talk about planning. And one thing that our kids learn from us is planning. And if we're people that are disorganized and don't plan, guess what? Our kids are disorganized and don't plan. My mother, bless her heart, she's just a real strong Christian woman that loved the Lord and trusted Him day in and day out. I got to tell you this, Terry, what happened to her within 1 year, one time. And when we were much younger, of course, it happened to us kind of right along with her. But it started out, I'm trying to remember, it started out that her father passed away down in Florida. And then a month or so later, my dad had racehorses. And she was at Beulah Park, and she was walking a horse from one part of from one barn to the paddock where he would meet up with the jockey and get ready for the race. And something spooked him, and he started spinning her around in circles as she's holding. And she had a stroke, a mild stroke, that she was only hospitalized for a few days. But she had that happen. And then our house, we had a beautiful home that was way out in the country, great big brick that my parents were furnishing with antiques. They had been doing it for the last several years. And she just loved it. It was finally the home she really wanted. And we were away one Sunday evening, coming home, where you'd see the flames for miles. It had been hit by lightning and just burst into flames, and it was So far now, she's got losing her father in the spring. She's got her house burning. She's got this stroke. Then she found out she had a tumor, an ovarian tumor. There were some other things going on that I won't get into at this time. But and then lo and behold, the final straw was we lost my father died in a car accident. This was all in a year's period of time. And Mom never, ever stopped trusting God. And if that wasn't an unbelievable example to us as kids, she trusted God every day. And the harder things got, the more she trusted him. And I can honestly say as her life went on, the example she was of trust and how the Lord took care of her. And when she ended her life, she had a relatively comfortable life. And she was married again and had been married in her second marriage after my dad. She had been married for 25 years, and they had a wonderful marriage. And then he passed away. Back to the organization part, when Mom passed away, we were going through her things, and I suddenly realized that my mom was the most meticulous person in the world at keeping records, especially of her finances and being organized with them. But for some reason, and it may just be the time of when she grew up, she never did that in front of us. And I wish she had of, because I could have learned a great deal of organization from her. But organization, if you're out there, teach it to your kids. Teach your kids how to be organized, how to pay bills on time. Sometime a systematic thing you do to make sure that your bills aren't late, to plan ahead. Things have changed so much. We run so many directions today. I know my mom, when I was young, and I'm sure you can probably attest to this also, Terry, Mom would make out a grocery list, and she'd go to the grocery once a week or every 2 weeks, whatever the situation was. And she stuck to that list, and she planned meals by it. And that's how we ate, by what the meals were planned. And boy, you better not get into something that was meant for a meal and mess that schedule up, or you might get your hide tanned real quick. But the point was, there was that organization. And the interesting thing about that is people knew what they had because they kept track of it. Most people today, I was almost bad. If I asked them how much money they had in the bank today, most people couldn't tell you. Unless they just got a notice from the bank that they're in arrears and it's big zeros. But I mean, really, we kind of float things along and we don't keep track of things to the penny. Well, I think I got enough to cover this, I got enough to cover that. And the truth is that we need to be good stewards of our money. You know, God gives us the ability to make money, and God gives us what we have. We need to be good stewards of what's there and be willing to plan ahead, plan for tomorrow. And with planning for tomorrow are those things. Planning for college. Planning for that empty nest time. We certainly don't want to be our burden on our children. But at the same time, our children need to be raised in a way that they can take care of us need be. And in a way that's responsible. We certainly don't want to be so lax at it that at some point, you know, there's nothing there and we burden our children's family beyond what we should in taking care of us. But it's all a balance if you think about it out there. You know, the things we plan to do, what we don't plan to do. And that planning starts at a very, very young age with our children. Letting young people know that, hey, look, you know, you're going to have to support yourself one day. Mine came very early. Mom let me know early on. She hadn't been remarried yet at the time when I got out of school. And it was basically, when you graduate from high school, and you are 18 years of age, you will either start supporting yourself briefly in this house before you move, or you're going to go, because she said, I can't do it. And because I knew that, I had to think, what am I going to do? And then plan on doing it. I remember a lot of kids were having a blast at graduation parties and plans for this and that. And I had this huge lump in my throat and this fear of, what am I going to do? You know, the money stops here. Gravy train's over. But I knew that from the time I was 13 years old that it was going to be that way. And even though you say, well, how do you expect a young person to plan? Well, you know what? You better start planning. I went to work early on. I went to work as a young teenager. And it was very hard to juggle sports and work. But I knew that I had to start getting used to what I was going to be doing every day of my life. And I don't think that we see as much of that today. What do you think about that, Terry?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Is that a lot of times now what you see is you see kids that were like in your situation that fail to plan, and then as either young adults or middle age, you know, they still are relying upon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a prime example. I was at work the other day, and a gentleman had told me that he buys these houses and rehabs them for a living. He does
right.
that. Well, there's this really nice area down in Worthington. It's mm-hmm. by the golf course, Worthington Hills.
Yeah, I know the area well.
Okay, he said that he's bought several houses down there that where the people just didn't pay the taxes because the children rode on mom and dad's coattails all their life, and they didn't get a job. And then when mom and dad dies, now they don't have the money to pay the taxes.
And it goes into tax default.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
And it's just like, you know, these guys, of course, are like, you know, 40s, 50, and they've never gotten a job, you know, because they've wrote off mom and dad, you know, that.
We're seeing more and more of that today, and we're seeing more and more grandparents raising grandkids.
Kids, yeah.
And they love their grandkids, so they don't want to see their grandkids end up in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So they take them in, and it's such, you know, I have watched personally some people very dear to me, I have watched that age them so rapidly. And while your grandchildren are, my grandchildren are such a blessing to us. You know, I love them. I'll be honest with you, you know, we've got a lot of them. So sometimes juggling the soccer games and the basketball and the baseball and the, some are needier than others. Some, you know, are more independent than others. But, you know, in doing that, it's very, very difficult. I couldn't imagine if they lived with us. I really can't.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, now is, and I'm, of course, you know, like you say, you talk about your grandkids, but is there sometimes, though, where it'd be like, boy, it'd just be nice if it was you and your wife. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that's a lot of the time, but I mean, is there sometimes to where that kind of infringes upon your schedule?
Well,
I don't know if infringes the right. I'm not saying.
No. You had an interesting topic, Terry, and it's a topic that comes up a lot.
Because I've seen so many older folks, I guess, not be able to fulfill their retirement. You know, like be able to travel and things like that, because now they have to go back in this mode of raising children again. You know, and
I married a lady that doesn't like to travel.
Okay.
So I guess that was a blessing.
That's good.
Then there's me. I have a wanderlust that's unbelievable. I could travel all the time if I wanted. But here's the problem we've found. We're a close enough family, and all of our kids live close. But we're honestly close enough that when we're gone for 3 or 4 days at a time, she'll look at me and say, I miss my babies.
Wow.
Or I'll look at her and I'll say, you know what? I miss our babies. And because we are close.
Yeah.
But see, I think the difference is, Terry, is that even with, because our children have been responsible parents and they love their children also, that even though we may have them a lot and we're running here and there, we always get that time at night when it's just her and I.
Right.
And we get that, well, not always. Sometimes they spend the night. Mm-hmm. But no, we do find that. And sometimes we'll just sneak away for a day. And it's really funny when that happens because the phone will start ringing and the kids will say, where are you at? You know, you guys are gone. What do you mean you went? You know, and it's, you know, because it's rare that we do. And sometimes we do, we do maybe have a pity party for time we don't have. But then again, we got to look back and realize how truly blessed we are, because there are a lot of parents out there and grandparents that don't get to see those kids. But I think the planning part, you know, comes into, are we planning for, are we teaching our kids to plan for raising kids is a huge one. I don't think, Terry, to be honest with you, that if we plan properly today, I don't think that parents will end up with a huge college burden from their kids. I think there's enough things in play that they can start some planning earlier, maybe even teaching kids to do some savings and putting away and teaching them that responsibility between grants, especially if you're not in a very high income bracket. There is a lot out there. There truly is, folks. My granddaughter is starting at Marion this year. Her entire first year is paid for. At OSU Marion. And mom and dad, you know, they got a lot of kids. Big family. They farm. When I say they farm, they're not easy folks out there. They're not those rich farmers people talk about. They're first-generation struggling farmers. But they're responsible, good people. And, you know, she's been able to, through hard work and scholarships and whatnot, she's gotten those things. And, you know, sometimes we hear about you know, lower-income people not being able to go to school. I really believe, Terry, it's more of a failure to plan than anything, because there are unbelievable amount of programs out there to help them go to school and to get through school.
I'm definitely not one that should be talking about this, but actually, I mean, I was in that same situation. I wanted to go to college. I was in a lower-income brat. I got the money to go. Of course, my situation, I'd never seen that much money at one time before. So I get all this money for school. Well, the first thing I said is, I'm blowing school off. Of course, not being the dummy I am, of course, you got to pay this back. You know, because I got a student loan. So, you know, I mean, here's a check for $5,000. But, you know, you go cash it and I'm not going to school.
You know, yeah. I've heard this story over and over again, Terry, and I think that we just have to be.
And it comes back to haunt you when you're, you know.
We have to be much better. I think we got to be much better at how we dole it out, I'll be honest with you. Because I know with, I know of a young man that got a full ride to DeVry, okay? SIT scores were through the roof. And he went to school for maybe a month and blew all the money that he had been given. And you know, I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, as hard as it is for some people to pay for school and to get it. And I think that sometimes there needs to be, I think too, that I'm not a big person on government intrusion. I don't like it. But I think the government needs to take a look at some of these companies that buy back loans and pay them. I think that a lot of them are really almost playing the role of a loan shark. I'm talking about the people that will buy the debt from the bank or whoever lent the original money, and down the road, you know, there's no reason you should leave school with a $10,000 debt or a $20,000 debt, and in 10 or 15 years it's grown to this astronomical amount because it's been sold so many times, and you had a hardship and couldn't pay it, and they just keep, you know, that kind of stuff. I think we really need to look at that. But, you know, once again, that goes back to our planning. What do we plan to do? And in all honesty, Terry, in your situation, that goes back to some parental planning, too. Do they gear you and get you ready for that to let you know that, you know, hey, look, this looks going to look good, but it's not there? No, it was just there. And, you know,
mom, you know, single mom, and, you know, thank God my sisters didn't follow the same path. They both have masters, and they did things the way they were supposed to. But like I say, myself, I chose to do that, and it came back to bite me. And
Terry, we were boys. Honestly, a lot of times girls are more prepared.
And now, kicking myself, I keep telling my sisters every day, and I hear the same thing from them, and they have every right to say it. I said, boy, I wish I'd have got my degree. And it's always the same answer. You had the opportunity.
Yeah, I have one sister that really scratched her way through college right out of high school, and you know, got I know she got some grants, she got loans, she worked, she paid back loans, but she made it through in 4 years. And I've got a brother that went in the Navy and took his GI Bill and went through, and I went through many years of the School of Hard Knocks and then piecemealed my way through. And you know, I've got another sister that entered the business world while she was still in high school, and just kept climbing through the business world and did very, very well.
That's good.
And so, you know, there's different ways that it can be done. One thing that I love that parents should really be taking advantage of today, most schools today, most public schools, and even private, even online schools, have a thing in place where they can enroll in college as early as being a sophomore in some cases. And I know with my nieces, when they graduated from high school, already had their associate's degree in college. And the thing is, when you do that in high school, it is paid for. You've now got an associate's degree paid for when you graduate from high school. And you know, I know it's fun to to do all those fun things in school. But if you can possibly do it, parents, look into that if you don't know anything about that, because it's very, very important.
Yeah, I've seen that. To where some of your classes are accredited for, you know, for college. And,
right.
You know, and yeah.
And I know my granddaughter spent her junior, senior year taking college courses, too. It just really helps. It gives them a leg up.
Yeah.
And gets them through it. And, you know, I want to tell you, you know, college isn't that long. I mean, you really, I'll be honest with you, I waited several years to go back, but the thing is, by the time I went back, I was eager to learn, and I've been in a learning mode since.
See, I was the opposite. With your discussion today hits me right on the head, because it was improper preparation, even after waiting 7 or 8 years to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Still no preparation.
Still no preparation.
None.
I just loved it.
I didn't know what to expect, to be honest with you, when I walked in. I kind of thought, well, this will be a little easy.
No, it's there.
So, and believe me, if it's Marion Tech or OSUM or DeVry or wherever you go, you better be prepared.
Absolutely.
And I wasn't, so.
But I, you know, one thing I'll tell you, parents, if your young people are not willing to go to school, don't let them lay around the house. Make them get out and work. I have seen over and over again these young people get in a habit of doing nothing. And, you know, you just talked about it, the 40-year-old that never left home. And mom and dad, if you love your kids, you love them enough to discipline them, right? The Bible tells us who the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he teaches us, you know, the old thing that people think is so horrible today, you know, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And if you look at the concept behind that, they're talking about is, look, don't spoil your children. You know, sometimes discipline is difficult, but discipline with a child shows them that you love them. If there's consequences, you care about them enough to give them consequences. And take stuff away. You know, if you're going to take that cell phone away, take it away. You know, don't give, they're crying in their room and they're upset and their friends have it. Oh, they might hurt themselves. I better give them their phone back. Nope, you're playing right into that hand. And, you know, we have to be willing to do what's best for the person around us. You know what? It's no fun to save money. It's kind of fun once you're saving it to see it grow. But everyone would love to spend the money. You know, most people that end up, I've got some good friends today. They are both, he's in his early 80s and she's in her early 70s. And we were talking one day, and they told me the most they had ever made between them in their life and their best year was $32,000.
Wow.
But yet today, they're relatively financially independent. They own their home. If they need a car, they go buy a car. They don't go to the finance company. How did they do that? They did that by planning. And they did that by spending what they had to do and knowing what they needed to put back. And I will tell you out there, too, that think that it's impossible to do. This is still a family that was very faithful in giving God his due every month when they got paid or every week, whatever it was. You know, they gave back to the church faithfully and still grew this unbelievable nest egg because they didn't fail to plan. They planned. And it's all a matter of planning. It's not how much you make. It's what you do with what you make. It doesn't matter. You know, but a lot of people say, if I could just make X amount of dollars, we'd have no problems. You're fooling yourself, because until you get in a place where you learn to live on what you have, you'll never be better with making more money. You have to learn to live with what you have.
That's what I'm struggling with.
It is, isn't it, Terry? It's hard. But, you know, you got to say, okay, look, I got to cut out this on Friday night, or I can't do this anymore, or I got to find an alternative to it. That's even better. I'll give you just a cheap, good example. We have our deacons and elders meeting every first Monday night of every month. Now, we could go out and order pizza for that night and sit around and talk and you know, some subs and Coke. No, we have a guy that brings in a popcorn popper, a bag of popcorn, and we have ice water. And we've done that so long that we look forward to the popcorn every week. Now, look at the difference in cost. You can do the same thing at home. You know, people say, oh, it sounds boring. Not if you get used to it. I was drinking a lot of soda and pop, whatever you want to call it, soda pop. Mm-hmm. And I started brewing tea and putting it in, and rinsing my bottles out, putting it in, and put it in the refrigerator, like the one I just drank, and bring it with me. It cost me about 12 cents. You see the difference? And we can do those kind of things. But we say, oh, Pastor, it's so much easier to go through the McDonald's to the drive-thru. It is easier. But you're never going to get ahead by doing what's easy. And the thing is, when we do what's right and learn to do it systematically, it becomes easy. It's just like reading your Bible. You'll say, oh, I don't know, it seems like drudgery to me. If you start reading your Bible every day and picking it up, you get so engrossed in what's going on in the Bible. You know, I hate to make this comparison. Lord, don't strike me for this one. It's kind of like soap operas. Soap operas go on every day, and what gets that person to flip that channel on the next day when they're at home and they watch them? And I watched my mom do it, man. She had General Hospital, man. You didn't bother her during General Hospital over the years. And so much so that I could tell you the storyline. Haven't watched it in 25 years, but I think they might have moved ahead 2 days by now. And the point I'm making is that, you know, they're just a little bit of a storyline, and you're so engrossed in it that you can't wait till the next day to open it again. Your Bible's the same way if you just do it. And planning your life can be the same way. It's fun to watch a nest egg grow. At the same time, we need to understand we need to have some protections in place. Folks, don't ever go without insurance. I don't know what to tell.
That's the biggest one I hear all the time.
I don't know what to tell you about health insurance. I really don't, because we got a mess on our hands. And I don't care if it's the Affordable Care Act or it's private insurance or what it is. We got a mess out there. Do we not? And one thing I will tell you, if you are paying your own way, typically doctors will greatly reduce when you pay cash, sometimes even 50% or more. All you have to do is ask. They're not going to tell you a lot of times. But if you say, hey, I'm paying cash today, could I get a discount? They'll do that. Because the bottom line is when they use the companies and bill it and all that, they have a certain amount of money. It's going to cost them anyway, so they'll reduce it for you. Another thing is that if you get a hospital bill, and it's difficult, if you will call the financial office rather than just being freaked out by the number and throwing it in the trash, if you call the number and ask for the financial office, they will usually work with you. And they usually also, if you're willing to submit a financial paper, have a sliding scale and say, well, you know, Pastor, a while ago, that'll do. I still can't do it. And something, you know, we've all had to learn, and I've had to learn, is, you know, pay a little bit at a time and you'll be all right. But don't let things get out of hand, and don't ever be afraid of debt and run from it, because it only grows when you do that. You know, you face debt. You know, we need to do that. But car insurance, I'll tell you what, don't pull out of your driveway without a car being insured. Don't even think about it. You know, it won't happen. I'll just drive this one day. Don't do it. You know, because it happens, you're in trouble. You lose your license, you can't go to work, you can't. All these things that happen when your tags are due, plan ahead, pay for them. All those simple things that we learn, that if we plan ahead, no one has a hard time. Most young people drop out of school, out of college, not because of grades. They drop out because they can't afford it anymore. And when now, whatever they have paid up through their into their freshman or the middle of their sophomore, junior year, you know, they never go back, and they don't use it. And all these different areas that we can plan, and I'll tell you, and maybe we'll have a show where we'll talk about, I'll list some of these agencies and places. There are a lot of places that can help you with just about anything that you need to plan. Whether you're trying to plan the smartest way to bury your family member down the road, or the far smartest way to get through college, or to make sure you stay healthy. I know that one thing I've found with blood work. A lot of times you get to a certain age and the doctor wants blood work every time you come. Well, Ohio Health has a thing that they do every quarter, every 3 months, where
like $20, those health...
Yeah, $20, you go and they do your blood panel on your screening. Mm-hmm. Take it with you to the doctor. Yep. Guess what? You know what it costs to go to the doctor and get that panel done?
Yeah.
You know, and I would recommend people do that even if you have insurance.
That's what he always tells me.
Why bleed the
You can argue and try and pay $60 or whatever for your insurance. You know, he said you're better off just pay the $20
and
use your copay or whatever. You know,
and get it done.
Yeah,
all these things that are out there that people can do. You know, I'll give you a real good example. We have a summer lunch program in Prospect at our church, Community Christian Fellowship. My wife is an excellent cook. She cooked for many years at the hospital in Marysville. I hope you like their food. But she's a good cook, and she makes lunch. She gives these kids a hot lunch every day in the summertime. And it starts about the second week of after school's out. And throughout the summer, until they go back to school, she makes a lunch for kids every day at 11:30 at the church. And it's open for any kid in town that wants to come, okay, and to seniors. And you bring your kids down, and you don't have to feed them. They get fed. One day a week on a Thursday, we usually try to have like a little Bible time for them. If they want to get them to stay for that, they come early for that, like at 11 instead of 11:30. But my point being that's available. You know, we might have 15, 20, we've had as high as 30 kids take advantage of it. But I guarantee you there's a lot more in Prospect than those amount of kids. And I also will guarantee you there's a lot more parents in Prospect with kids that are struggling with grocery bills. Why aren't you walking your kids down to the church? Once again, you plan it. You put it on the schedule. This is something that you do. And there's all those things. There are things out there, people, to make your lives easier if you're willing to do it. But we've got 2 minutes left. And I want to let you guys know that I care about each and every one of you. That's why I'm here. I'm here because I care about people. God has laid it on my heart to love other people. I have a strong desire for you to be in church and know that God loves you. I'd love to have you come to the church. It's at 209 East Water Street. Again, we have Sunday school at 9:30, service at 10:30. And if you come to the church, you'll find out that we are a church that we look like a Heinz 57. We're not a stuffy place. We're very welcoming and very kind. And you'll find there the opportunity for your lives to be enriched and grow. And that's what's so important. And that's all Christ wants for any of us. He loves us enough that he wants us to accept his sacrifice for us and give our lives to him and trust him with it. And you know, I'd love to have you come to church. I look forward to seeing you when you come. I'm going to trust a lot of you out there are going to do just that. And again, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker at The Pastor Spot. Remember that you can always go on and look on the archives at WWGH if you want to hear a replay of this.
Tomorrow.
Also, tomorrow at Wednesday at 3:15, there will be a replay of this show. But I look forward to talking to you next week, and we're going to have a great summer. And possibly put some more times in, too. Terry, it's been good being with you tonight.
Thank you.
And I look forward to this every week. I need to do it more often because I like it too much. but we'll figure it out. And, hey, everyone out there, have a great summer. Congratulations on everyone that has someone graduating this time of year. God bless you all. And have a blessed and a wonderful week.
Take care, everybody. You're listening to